This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
And welcome to episode number 96 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
How you doing, John?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
I'm a little tired. I just woke up.
Yeah?
Less than an hour ago, or a little over an hour ago.
Most people would say, what the hell's wrong with you? You had an hour. But you work a different schedule.
I'm a night owl.
Yes. Later on, when people ask why John quit the show,
that was the catalyst.
That was the line.
That was the catalyst line right there.
Holy crap! You see Mike look across the table at me and go,
"Hey, you know."
That was it.
I think after 20 years, you can survive that. yeah, it was a. It was a long weekend of good wrestling watching for me.
Mm.
I took in four fantastic shows and one decent show.
Mm.
That's a pretty
good record.
Like, yeah.
Some A's and a B.
Yeah, and the decent show was Friday night. And then the fantasticness started after that with New Japan Pro Wrestling, NXT TakeOver Philly, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and then the Royal Rumble. So it was a good weekend there, wrestling-wise. But that's not what we're here to talk about. I don't talk about wrestling very much on this show. That's my other podcast show.
That's right. You have another podcast show.
Yeah. This show is about what did I watch this week. And even though I watched all that wrestling this week, I watched a bunch of other stuff, too. Yeah. Yeah. So some people might call it excessive. But whatever. I don't care.
They're not your boss. They're not your supervisor.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all. But,
So you watched some stuff.
Yeah, John, I watched some stuff. Did you watch some stuff?
I did.
What'd you watch?
Stuff.
Did you watch things as well?
No, I watched some things.
So you watched some stuff
and things? I watched some good stuff. I watched some not so good stuff.
That happens.
I watched one particularly shitty thing.
Oh.
And I actually watched one thing that I liked so much I watched it twice.
Oh.
So
okay.
So got some mixture in there.
Good.
Yeah.
Good mixture of stuff.
Yeah.
Good mixture of stuff. So, well, let's just jump into it, like both feet in, right into it, and
Supergirl. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew that's where you were going. Yeah. I knew that's where the ship was
Monday
headed.
Night. It's the Monday night start. You know, it's the start of the week, Monday night. Yeah.
Girl power.
Indeed.
Like, literally girl power. Like, we're going to go to Fort Roz because it was named after this priestess named Roz, or whose last name was Roz. And, you know, she was the first one to be put on there, and she's been there this whole time, and she could tell us the truth about Rain. And, but she's, Fort Roz is now orbiting a blue dwarf star or something? Emits some kind of radiation.
Blue star that kills anyone with a Y chromosome.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how aliens work, too. Aliens have X's and Y chromosomes.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, how is it that, like, John Jones, they're like, oh, sorry, well, you know, you're a dude. Well, he's a Martian.
Right.
He's a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
He can fly and all this stuff. Is that really how it works? Is every alien organism in the entire universe broken down into an X and a Y?
Yeah. Maybe they got X, Ys, and Zs, but that Y's in there.
Zeds.
Sorry, Zeds.
Yes. Yeah. So that was a little bit of a story. I get it. You know, it's a comic. It's simplicity's sake, but that was still a little bit of a groan.
Yeah. Supergirl recruiting to evildoers to help her out on this. When she said she had friends, I thought we were going to get maybe a little crossover action going on.
Yeah.
But instead, you know, she gets Livewire and whatever the mind girl.
Yeah, I don't even remember her name. And Livewire's story was more convincing because, you know, like she's at the
Psy.
Oh, yeah.
PSI.
She's at the diner trying to make a decent living because Rain exists now and Rain's killing criminals. So yes. She's like, I'm a criminal. I got to hide out.
She's going straight.
Yep. And Psy, on the other hand, was just like locked away with a little crown on her head that makes her so she can't use her powers.
Yeah.
Where was Megan? I don't know. You know, she's female.
She's on Mars.
Yeah.
Guess she was unavailable.
Could have picked her up on the way.
Guess she was unavailable to help.
Why couldn't Brainiac go with him? He's an artificial intelligence.
You know what? I never considered that. That's a valid point.
Because I think they wanted to do the girl power. They wanted to do that scene where they walk down the hallway, all four of them looking all badass, and then they slowly zoom in.
The only thing missing from that was... Hearts Barracuda playing.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a good episode.
It was decent. I mean, they find Fort Ross. They get on the ship. They, you know, encounter resistance.
Let's see, plenty of dead male aliens.
Of course. They counter resistance. They have to go back to their own ship. Kara has no powers. So right. She's basically useless.
Which, here's the thing, again, with the Superman, Supergirl mythos, like, the Yellow Sun gave them their powers, but they always had a bank of it, you know?
Yeah, it's not like it suddenly disappeared when the Yellow Sun wasn't there, because right. You'd think when they sit in the shade, then they'd lose their powers.
Exactly. Yeah. Or a cloudy day, it's like, they fall out of the sky.
Right, yeah, exactly. No, she should have had diminished capacities.
Yes.
She should have gotten weaker as time went on because she wasn't in the sun.
Right.
The Yellow Sun. That's what should have happened, incidentally. And they could have pulled that off completely.
Oh, absolutely.
Because she didn't need her powers until all of a sudden near the end when Rain showed up.
And had all her powers.
And had mold because she's not like her. And then as she battled Rain, she could have gotten weaker from being away from...
Expending her collected energy.
But they always say Earth's Yellow Star. They could have just gotten on a ship and flown near Yellow Star and been like, good, and then gone back.
Right. Let's take the fight over this way, one galaxy. We'll be all set.
Yeah. Oh, and then I like how they did tie it into the last episode where Alex had broken her ankle or whatever it was, so she couldn't go on this trip because she wasn't there.
Yes.
Instead, she was home babysitting Rain's daughter and helping her with a bully.
Yes.
By flaunting her FBI credentials.
Cool, but also very unbelievable.
Yeah, massively, massively.
We've been monitoring everything you've done, and I will come back here and I will arrest you. She's like, don't tell my mom.
Yeah. But they meet Roz, this all-powerful being.
Not to be confused with Oz, the other all-powerful being.
Who Rain promptly kills after Roz, you know, relays to Kara. You know,
just enough
important plot details.
Right.
And then there's the fight with Rain, and then Livewire shows up to help her, and then Psy shows up to help them both. And
Livewire. Of course,
that's right. Earlier, Psy showed she could not be trusted
because she zapped Saturn Girl
by accident, according to her. But then later on, she proves she can be, and she breaks Rain. And I kept waiting for Rain to take her mask off.
Yes,
and she didn't. Instead, Rain took over, and she like flew away or whatever. Yep. And then Livewire's dead.
Yeah,
seems unnecessary
for somebody who can literally turn into electricity.
Yeah, you would think that
she could have like absorbed that blast
somehow, but.
Because it wasn't, like, sustained.
And not only is she dead, though, she saved Kara.
Yes.
She sacrificed herself to save Kara.
Yeah, because she developed that over the course of this one episode.
Right, because that's just how it happens.
Because she hated her before that.
Correct.
She's hated her for a long time.
Yes.
But over this one episode, she decided, oh, you're worth saving because everyone is inspired by you and you can defeat her.
Maybe she secretly, begrudgingly respected her.
Could be. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's too bad. I like Livewire as a villain.
I did.
She was a cool character. So not just her powers, but, you know.
Also, Brainiac, after insulting all the technology advances that the Earth has at this time.
Right.
And then when they lose contact with the ship because planet the Roz is getting sucked into the sun, Wynn is the one that figures out a way to open up communications again.
Bouncing it off the Voyager satellites.
Right, right. And Brainiac is like, I don't know. He didn't show any hubris by any means, but it's almost like he's like, oh, okay, I guess I don't know everything just because my name's got brain in the title.
Right.
I don't know. But I don't know. It was decent.
It was decent. We saw the first chink in Rain's armor, not because she got beaten down, but because, like you said, Psy got into her head and turned her back into Sam briefly. And she's like, what am I doing here? How did I get here? Where's my daughter? And then
Sam goes to pick up her daughter from Alex and then reveals to Alex all missing time and how she didn't know where she was, and this isn't the first time. And,
yeah, like, and, very open about it.
Yeah, like, well, she had that little, like, flashing nightmare thing and kind of freaked out.
Oh, I told you I was going on a business trip. I didn't go.
I don't know what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just knew I just was gone, and now I'm back. And then, of course, at the end, we meet a woman who gets hit by a runaway car but lives, so obviously she's another one of the world... destroyers.
To the voiceover of, you know, them saying there are others out there, and then,
world killer.
Yeah. Yes.
But, it was a good episode.
Oh, and let's not forget that, you know, because Psy did help out, Supergirl was magnanimous and said, let's see if we can get her a cell with a window.
Yeah, and Psy gave her a smile.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Way to...
access to the outside.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We work in a place that has no windows, so that'd be pretty friggin' awesome.
Exactly, it really would at this point. Holy crap.
Yeah, even a friggin' skylight or something. Which wouldn't be possible because there's a floor above us.
See, everyone says that, but there's no stairs. Yeah. There's no elevator.
It's just, I don't know what it is.
I don't think it is. I think that rumor was started and somebody was very false about that because there's no way to get up there.
Dylan would have freaked out the other day because the building was making all kinds of popping and locking noise.
It was doing that to me too, and Sarah was freaking out.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
It's like these kids, they've never known.
They've never heard of buildings settled. Yeah.
You and I know all about settling, don't we, Mike?
Oh. Yeah. Bye.
Anyways.
Flash.
You watched it. I was surprised. Midway through the week, I told you that I thought it was a pretty decent episode. You were like, I don't know. I said, well, Goldberg's on there. And you said, well, that's even more reason to not watch it.
Right, I know. But I watched it anyways because I'd heard a lot of good things about The Elongated Man in this episode. And I got to say, when Ralph first came onto the scene, I was annoyed by him.
Oh, yeah.
But he quickly grew on me, and so I gave it a watch.
Yep.
But of course, Barry finds himself in a scenario where he's in prison. And here's the thing. All right, he keeps looking at the cameras, like, oh, I can't flash because cameras are there.
Right.
He's the friggin' Flash. It's gonna look like a blip on the screen.
Exactly
that, because he's the Flash.
Yeah.
But whatever. He finds himself in a scenario where he's going to get beat up. Goldberg saves him because apparently he was friends with his dad. And then...
Dad took out his appendix when it ruptured.
Right.
There was no doctor on prison grounds for some reason.
He respects Harry.
Yep.
And so because of that, he's watching after Barry and... or Henry. I said Harry, but you know what I mean.
I knew exactly what you meant. Yep.
Harry and Barry, right? Makes more sense.
Harry's back at the lab.
I know. Anyways, so he helps out Barry, who's going to get jumped, and then later on, Barry saves him from getting killed because they knocked the cameras out, and so we can see Barry flash a little bit.
Yeah, that one part of the prison where the camera's been destroyed, nobody's ever replaced it. They figure, oh, well, that's just where all the killing will happen.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the killing zone.
Yep.
But
that was only, like, I considered that, honestly, the B story of the episode, because the A story was just so much better.
The A story was essentially establishing Ralph as a hero.
Yeah.
With a new... So he had to show cowardice.
He did, but in a good way. Like, you always thought Ralph Dibny was going to be a cowardly character, you know, as a slime ball. But, like, they hit it on the nose when they're like, so wait a minute, you were actually doing this stuff because you thought you couldn't be hurt? He's like, yes!
Yeah!
And now that I can be hurt, I don't want to do it anymore. it's kind of believable, you know?
Yeah.
But most of us are like that. You fall down and break your arm. You're like, I'm not going to do that again. Yep. I could hurt myself.
Yep.
It was fun to see him go against these characters. Now, I don't know if you had done any, like, looking into it, but there were some fun little factoids with this. So his mother, played by Corinne Burwer, or however you pronounce her last name, she was on one episode of the 1990s Flash as Prank.
Yes.
And so now she's reprising the role, which was nice.
That was cool. She's the Trickster's wife.
Yeah. And
whatever. She was impregnated by him, let's say it
that
way.
Yes. So nice to bring that actress back for such an obscure role.
Yeah.
But when they were doing the, you know, flashback and they were showing the newspaper articles, there's a picture there of her and Mark Hamill as the Trickster holding the little baby. And they said, you know, they had a child together and blah, blah, blah. Well, that was actually a set photo from the 1990s show. And that was Mark Hamill's daughter. He had brought her onto the set. And apparently they did her hair to look like that so that she looked like the Trickster. Well, now this many years later, they're like, let's use that photo.
Okay. That's pretty awesome.
It is. Because apparently she put it up on Instagram or Twitter or something. She was like, hey, did you guys see that I had a cameo in the episode of The Flash tonight?
Okay, that's pretty damn cool. I like that.
I like that a lot, too. But it was fun watching those two square off. You know, Axel and Dibny. You know, throws the little bouncy ball, he grabs it, it explodes. He's like, ha, ha, ha. And then he fires the ninja stars at him and they just fall out. And he's like, okay, then I've got some Axid. Which was a terrible name, but
that was really bad.
It made me think of Axe body spray, you know, and it melted Ralph.
Yeah, he did not like that.
Nope. I also thought Caitlin and I wrote it down. Hold on, the Lexi LaRoche. This was the second episode in a row where they've talked to Caitlin. They're like, you know, you got to bring out Killer Frost. She's like, guys, it doesn't work. And both Harry and Cisco were like, Lexi LaRoche. And boom, she's there. Like, childhood bully. I love that they've developed this thing where they could just trigger her like that based on these traumatic events. Yeah, there were actually a few things that are when they were like, okay, so I guess we found Dibny's kryptonite. And he's like, what's kryptonite?
Oh,
like,
I know. Oh, that was hilarious. Yes.
Which, again, we've been talking about this recently. So if they understand what kryptonite is in this world, where's their Superman or Supergirl?
Yeah.
You know? Just saying.
So real quick, going back, Corinne Boerer.
Yes.
Seeing her on The Flash this week, it actually finally made me find the name of it. When I was younger, it was the show I watched. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think it might have been on TGIF for like a season, if they did it then. But it didn't matter. It was about a witch.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't Sabrina.
Okay.
And I have never been able to, I didn't know who was in it. I just remember seeing it, watching it. I enjoyed it. It was called Free Spirit, and she was the witch in it.
Oh.
And when I saw her on The Flash this week, I was like, that's her. That's the girl. And I've seen her in other things, I realized, after the fact, but I just didn't make the relation for whatever it was. I don't know if it was seeing that old picture of her.
Right.
In the article or whatever, while watching the episode, but I just wanted to bring that up. Because it was one of those things where you're trying to remember something for years.
Yep.
And it, like,
and you finally got it.
You've tried doing like a Google search of it, like which TV show. Mm-hmm. And like Sabrina and Bewitched and Charmed just explode. And
exactly.
I can't find anything else.
But yep.
Anyway, sorry.
No, she. I looked it up. She's 59 this year, and she looked really good for 59.
She looked great for 59. Yeah.
I love that Bebo was back.
Yeah.
That Bebo got melted by the acid, and then we had three Bebos with explosives on them too.
Yes.
It's nice when they add that continuity. They're like, we remember that this was a stupid thing earlier, and you know he was a god to the Vikings, and he's back now. I loved. When Ralph saw his new costume and you got that close up of him with that chiseled jaw and he goes, groovy.
Yes. Yes.
Like, yes. We know what that's for.
That was absolutely cool. I saw that. I was like, okay.
Yep. They must have listened to our podcast because this week we got some slow motion fighting with Barry.
Yep.
When he had that room with the cameras knocked out. So thank you guys for listening and you know, treating the Flash the way that he should be.
Speaking of Yo-Yo, real quick, in slow motion finding, apparently Carolyn said that in Yo-Yo's first appearance, they showed us that. Oh. I don't recall that. But she has an obsession with S.H.I.E.L.D. that would, I'm not going to doubt it.
Kind of like Leo with Supernatural?
Yeah, big time like Leo with Supernatural, yes.
Yep. And then also this week, we got the P.S. of the strange girl who had showed up at Barry and Iris's wedding and was all excited.
Yeah, yeah.
And now she's talking to Harry and Cisco like she knows them.
She paid for their coffee or whatever. Yeah. And then we see her writing the weird alien language that Barry was spouting from the Speed Force.
Yeah.
So
the current speculation is that that's their daughter from the future.
Ah.
That's Barry and Iris's daughter.
And she knows that she's their daughter.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So she's back here to fix something, which could be their out for how they're going to fix this whole Barry being in jail thing, you know.
Okay.
But it's interesting. I saw one theory the other day that was like, this is a long stretch, but is this whole season going to turn out that Barry never left the Speed Force and this is like his private hell? No.
No.
No. That's too much of a stretch.
The show does something like take a finale and just say, oh, it was a premonition.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
It is.
But if a show were to take an entire season and like, say it's just a premonition, that would be really bad.
Riots in the street kind of bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't watch Arrow. Do you want to talk about Arrow? Was it good?
Caden James is assaulting the city.
Okay. I'm done. So, this is us. So I'm all caught up.
Yeah.
And we don't find out how Dad... We don't see Dad die. But they've given us enough pieces of the puzzle that let us know he died in a fire.
Like, if we were putting a puzzle together right now and there were three pieces that were missing, the cat ate him or something like that, we'd be okay because we still know what the picture is.
Yeah, basically, and this is my also theory, Kate's big hang-up on dogs is because Dad went back in the house to get the dog.
And that's why she keeps saying it's my fault.
Yes.
Because she's probably like, oh my God, the dog,
I didn't have this dog, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think she probably called out for the dog, and so Dad went back in. Or she said, go get it.
Yeah, because from what we're seeing, I mean, Randall, Kate, Mom, and Dad were all home when the fire started. And that fire spread fast. And you would think... And now, I know they showed us that the smoke detector had no batteries in it. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's just the shoddy 90s standards. But, like, do you think they'd have more than one smoke detector in the house?
You would think so.
But that fire spread fast.
It really did.
And I don't know if I buy a crock pot starting a fire like that fast because you got to jiggle the handle a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah, a crock pot they've had for 18 years.
Well, here's the thing. They've had it for 18 years. The old couple had it before that.
Right.
So,
and it had never caused a fire. And at least the 18 years they had the crock pot, it never caught on fire.
Well, you know what my thought is?
They never had a problem with it before.
You're going to turn it off. Why not unplug it as well?
See, and actually, you know, that's funny. That's exactly what Kate said. She's like, see, that's why I always unplug everything like that.
I mean, there's things that you don't unplug, like your computer, your TV, stuff like that. But, you know, like I leave the toaster plugged in.
We put ours away in the cupboard when we're not using it. We don't use it that often.
Yeah.
That's why.
But, like, coffee makers get unplugged.
Yeah.
Crock pots get unplugged.
Yeah.
You're just asking for trouble, as evidenced by this.
Yeah.
So this is the interesting part. What are they going to do from here? Because they basically had two seasons building up to where's Dad? What happened? And they're kind of tying everything up. Like Kevin has kind of made peace with Miguel, and they've had their whole little thing, you know, where he's like, you know, did you love my mother when her and my dad were together? Yep. And he's like, oh, that would have been impossible. Yep. They were one being. So we've kind of gotten past that.
It feels like they're wrapping things up.
It does.
Yeah.
And they're going to show us what happened with Dad, and we're going to finally get that answer. And so what are they going to do from here?
I don't know.
I mean, they're good at it.
I think they're just going to keep drama going.
Yeah.
They can keep doing flashbacks. I mean, they have teased twice now, Dad in Vietnam and Dad had a brother.
Yeah.
And that hasn't been addressed.
That's true. And they'll always have to do, like, at them as teenagers without dad around.
Which they haven't done any of that yet.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. Because this is a show whose flashbacks don't
piss us off.
Yeah.
And they do them really well. They do them in a way that they can be mysterious. Like the old folks. You know, you're like, why do I care about these old folks cleaning out their garage?
And I kind of like how they tease us. You think, oh, that's the house that they're looking at.
Yep.
When Jack and Mom, they are going to restart the big three homes, like, and she's like, oh, this house, it's a, you know, three bedroom, two bath or bath and a half, blah, 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 blah. Once you fix it, it'll be great. You
think it's elderly couple.
You think it's their house because, oh, someone wants to look at the house and this and that. Turns out they give them the crock pot that causes the fire. That
pot of death.
Yeah. Like 18 years later causes the fire that kills Jack.
Do you think? I mean, those old people are probably dead by now, but do you think that, you know, if Rebecca decided she wanted to sue them, that the old man could stand there in court and say,
you're I told them to jiggle the handle.
We didn't start the fire.
It was always burning since the world's been turning.
That's right.
I had something I was going to say, and now I've been distracted. We don't live in such a litigious society. I was thinking about that, but that's not what I was going with it. The fire, Jack, damn it. Oh, well, it comes back to me.
That's right.
I feel like it was This Is Us related, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to see the Clooney episode that did not have George Clooney.
No, it was about the cat, yeah.
It was really an ugly cat.
It was an ugly cat, yeah.
I liked it, though. It was cool.
Oh, the scene where Kevin is knocking the wall down in that apartment and the girls are sitting there watching him with his being all sweaty, you know, and working hard. That tanked was funny. I enjoy the show.
I like the dynamic that Randall and his wife have. You know, they're not the super saccharine sweet couple, but they always get along, you know, because they're honest with each other when they have the conversations. And you're going to say this, and then you're going to say this, and then you're going to say this. You need to say anything else? No, I think they covered it.
Yeah, you got everything. Yeah.
And then she does the same thing to him. And he's like, no, that's it. Yeah.
Kind of almost like the Murtaughs on Lethal Weapon a little bit.
Yeah.
Except it's almost like it's a one-way street. Because once again, in Lethal Weapon, they show us how Murtaugh's issues with life are nowhere near as bad as Riggs.
It's almost like the PBS version and the HBO version.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's crazy. Like first world problems versus God. Yeah, it almost upsets me a little bit to watch Murtaugh try to be upset about RJ lounging in the pool and not getting his life together and doing something.
Yeah.
And then you got Riggs over here whose father is trying to murder him from prison or murder everyone around him from prison.
Yeah, from prison, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know how far behind. I think I just watched two episodes recently, so I don't know how far behind we were when we're talking about here on the show, but the episode, The Two Baileys.
Yes, double shot of Bailey's.
Double shot of Bailey, yeah. We meet Bailey's sister.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good episode.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. That was kind of solid. I like how it shows how like much integrity Bailey has compared to them.
Yeah.
You know, yes. What are you doing telling him about this? I'm being honest, you know, and
Yeah.
And then Bailey's like lying about things and this and that. And Murtaugh's like, Riggs has ruined you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all Riggs' fault.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Murtaugh is trying to track down whether or not his daughter's boyfriend is cheating because Mom's out of town and
he wants to be super dad. So he's using police resources to find out if.
Yeah. Doing stakeouts and stuff like that. I mean, granted, the kid is cheating, but.
Which I'll never understand that ever, 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 ever in my life. Why people have to be shitbags.
It's just something they do.
Yeah. Elena Vegas. What a great show.
Right? For a half hour show,
it's fun.
Great.
Dermot Mulroney was excellent.
Yes.
As Captain Steve.
Yes. That's what I meant. Like, at the very end, you get Josh Duhamel.
Yeah.
Who walks in there and they're like, oh my.
Yeah, yeah. I love how he flies international. I can have his international. Let's be honest, it's Canada.
Yeah. You know? It's another country.
But no, I do like the continued association of the passengers on the plane that know each other.
That was what I was worried about when I first saw the show. I'm like, why are we going to care about the pilot and like the two stewardesses? Like, yeah, that's going to get old really quick. But the fact that you have the regular
passengers. Plus the rotating guest passengers, if you will. Like in the most recent episode, the marshal, the air marshal.
You know? They're not supposed to tell, but they're like, tase him, air marshal. What? Yeah. No.
I have a water and a juice. You need to tase this bitch. I like how Captain Dave shows up with his broken wrist and they like, well, you can't fly, so we have to call in a replacement. And he just, the whole thing, he's like, I can prove to you my wrist is fine. Bernard, you know, Dirty Dancing. And Bernard gets ready to run at him.
I'm going to pick him up. He's like, no, you're not.
I'm going to do push-ups. He gets down. Do 600. Don't do any. Ah! One. All right. So push-ups is not a good idea, but there's nothing wrong with my wrist.
He's just over the top enough to be hilarious, but not so much that you're like, Jesus Christ, again.
I feel like he, like this, you know, watching it, he must be like, I love this role.
Yes.
It's so fun.
He doesn't usually do that kind of thing. He's usually a serious actor.
Yeah, exactly. You know? The Practice. Was it The Practice he was on?
Something like that, some lawyer show. Yeah.
But I love, again, different episode, but still, I'm combining the two I saw. His interaction with the traffic control.
Oh my God. That was so great.
With the traffic control, you know, operator, whatever it was. And
trying to work up the nerve to ask her out.
So he brings like the Russian into the cockpit to get his advice. And then he brings Jenny into the cockpit to get her advice. The car's like, stop bringing passengers into the cockpit. And which, you know, would never happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
it's Jackpot Airlines. I mean,
exactly. And so finally, like, you know, he's going to meet her at the bar here. And her boss shows up. Yeah, she's not here because she's filling out citation paperwork, because that's an open channel and everyone could hear you guys.
Exactly. It wasn't a private phone line.
Right, exactly.
Like, everyone was listening. And I love that it was Woo.
Yes. Yeah.
From Grit.
And
you'll never see her again, okay?
No. He goes, well, how do I ever talk to her again? Is call her like normal people. Here's your phone number. You know, like. But
it reminded me of the radio that we have at work. You know?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
You don't get into conversations on that because everyone's listening.
Well, unless you're the chief deputy and myself.
There you go. Yeah, there are some exceptions to be had.
It's just good stuff. It's just funny. It's hilarious. This week with the passengers, it could have been last week. I don't know. But British dad, he's going to throw his daughter a birthday party.
Oh, yes.
And he gets to Vegas, and the place he was going to have the party has been, like, shut down because they found some ancient disease strain and this and that. And so he calls Ronnie. I don't know anyone else in Vegas. Well, that's not true. And then the Russian shows up. I have candy. Get in my van. You know, like, you want me to get in the van with you? Yeah. And then he brings him to that high-end kiddie.
Which sounded awesome.
Yeah. This really high-end, you know, kids place, which the guy runs like it's an adult strip club.
Oh, yeah. Like velvet ropes and VIP sections and everything.
Oh, that's the peanut allergy room. And
yep.
You actually have some 10 Magnum bottles and party favors. We need actual party favors. Right. You know, like. And, oh, it's going to be $8,000. You know, what can $400 get me? $400 gets me right back to where I was. Like, literally, they gave him a ride to the other place that was shut down. And then Jenny, whatever, she helps him out. Like, everyone at the strip club gets together to throw the party at the...
And it turned out well.
It was hilarious. I like the fact that she's like, oh, my family almost never visits me. I'm glad my friends did. What do you mean your family almost never visits you? That led to a discussion of, if my daughter was a stripper, I would never go there, ever in life, ever, ever, ever.
Ever.
Yeah. And she goes, and Kay goes, what if you had an emergency, you couldn't even send someone to send her a message.
Right.
Because Because then you're like, you don't want to send anyone.
You don't want anyone to know she's there.
Tane, go tell your sister. Wait, never mind. You know, but it was great. And I like how they like the she makes Anna balloons with condoms.
It's all sticky.
And then like they got someone dressed up as a firefighter giving kids slides down the fire pole.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It was hilarious. You're sure your boss doesn't mind? Oh, Sunday mornings, nothing happens here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
And I love the next one where they were trying to make more money. So like he's like, I already slid my card to recline my seat the full way back. Oh, it looks like the guy behind you slid his card to prevent you
from doing that. He paid double to prevent you from reclining. Or you know, you close the overhead bin. Oh, you got to pay 50 cents to open it. And cost 50 cents to go to the bathroom. And $10 for a pillow, but screaming free. No, oh, wait. Screaming costs $5. Yeah, I'm glad they did away with all that by the end of the episode.
Yes. Yep.
But
now they're going to offer flu shots.
Yes. Oh, my God. And the turbans. And he stabs right that neck. Guy in the neck.
It's funny. I had seen that on the commercials, but it was just as funny watching it in the episode.
Yeah. It's a fun show.
It is. It's right up there with, like, The Good Place and Superstore.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable half-hour shows.
Speaking of enjoyable half-hour shows, How I Met Your Mother is now on Hulu.
Oh,
the
nice.
The entire run. So if you didn't get enough of it when it was on Netflix, it's okay. Now over on Hulu.
And remember, the last season is terrible.
No, I like most the last season. Is terrible. I kind of like I didn't like the ending of the series.
I didn't like the ending, and I felt that when you look back at it, like, every other season was multiple episodes over multiple months.
Right, and the last season was one weekend with flashbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I still get all jacked up when they play the Shin Simple song and we meet Mom for the first time. Mm. And finally see her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. So it is what it is. No Blacklist this week.
No, unfortunately.
However, we did get an episode of The X-Files.
Yes.
Which I laughed a lot.
This was the one thing that I watched twice this week.
You watched it twice?
Yes. Oh, and nice. I still got it on my DVR so I can watch it again.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I mean, to me, okay, we meet Reggie.
Reggie Murgatroyd.
Yes, Reggie Murgatroyd, who essentially is saying that there's a Dr. They. That's his name.
Yeah, because you always say, they've done this, they've done that. Who's they?
Dr. They. Who we meet later on. And I love when he shames Mulder and he's like, after all these years, you finally just looked for me.
Right.
But essentially, Dr. They can control people's minds and change people's memories.
Yeah.
And he creates the Mandela effect.
Yes.
Which, to simplify it, it's like those of us who grew up thinking it was called the Bernstein Bears, but it's really the Bernstein Bears. But you remember seeing Steen, but
with an E.
Yeah, but it's really spelt with an A and on and on and on.
And even if you look up your old books, they're A's, but you remember it.
Yeah.
It's called the Mandela Effect because some people swear to God that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 80s, but he actually died a free man in the 90s.
Right.
And people, no, I remember him dying. I remember it's collective unconscious change reality.
And on the show, it's the Mengele Effect.
Yes. Yes. Joseph Mengele.
Yeah. But they have this.
They use the Shazam movie.
Yeah.
Shazam, Kazam, and Kablam.
And then, no. Sinbad really was a genie in the movie called Shazam.
Yep.
So it's basically like this guy is trying to say that, oh, your favorite episode of The Twilight Zone never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that never happened. And I know things about you that no one else would know because I was a member of your team. And then they do like a flashback. They even kind of do like a
the new intro to the show.
The new intro is like da 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 da, like with people's voices.
And his badge there.
And it says Reggie someone or Reggie somebody or whatever.
And then the truth is out there. Question mark.
And then they do, like, flashbacks, or they show clips from previous episodes where they've digitally put him in.
Yep.
In different spots, different times. When
Fox pulls out that giant old 80s phone, he's like, hey, Reggie, how's it going? Oh, good, man. What's up with you? The first time Scully walks into the office and he's like, keep walking, sugar tits. Yeah. No women here.
But it was great.
It was.
It was great.
It was great for being funny, but it was also great for making you think, because these things really do happen.
Yes.
You know, you really do have people who are like, no, I swear to God, I remember this happening.
Yeah.
You know, my sister's big for that. She'll be like, do you remember when this happened when we were kids? And I'm like, no, that never happened. No, I remember it happening. And it's on an individual level, and then it's on a group level.
You have a number of details that you can recite, and it's just, you know, it's infuriating when someone else doesn't remember it.
Right.
And they really kind of address that, but in a very humorous way.
Yep.
And then, you know, at the end, when they come and haul Reggie away and they put him in a straitjacket.
Because Scully explains the whole thing away with his dossier.
Exactly. And, like, oh, no, you were this. This is who you are.
I love the montage of the jobs that he had. Yes. That all took place in the same cubicle.
Just with the different logo of federal agency. Yep. On the wall.
First he's the mailman. By the end, he's like CIA. And he's like just pouring water over the guy. Like,
yeah, whatever. In the same spot. Yeah. And then he was, and then, you know, he worked, then the NSA, he's listening into the phone call from them from the beginning of the episode.
Because Mulder was out squatching.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, okay. Oh, and these people that keep coming at us, you know, they're showing up, they work at the insane hospital.
Where he keeps escaping.
Where he keeps escaping from. And so they're hauling him off in a straitjacket. And as he's driving away.
Because he wants to do it the classic style. Yes. You're like, come on, this is demeaning to all of us. And he's like, no, no. You know how, like, whenever somebody's crazy and you haul them away, they always think they're Napoleon. Why doesn't that happen anymore? You know, why can't we go back to that? And they ask him, you know, what happened on our last mission?
Yes, that's
right. Oh, my God.
And they find out the truth. And the aliens show up and gives them the book that explains everything of all time. But they're going to stay away from Earth because you guys are jerks.
Yeah, they're going to erect a wall around the Earth because you know, while some of you are okay, you're not sending us the good ones. You're sending us the drug users and the rapists, and you're poisoning the rest of the galaxy. So while we realize that other galaxies and planets out there have the similar problems, it's nothing compared to what the Earth brings to it. So we don't want to have you around us anymore.
So they're going to erect a wall around our galaxy.
Yeah.
So we can't leave it.
Yeah. Explore Uranus as much as you want. He
says. And I love how the alien has like the voice that doesn't match his. You know what I mean? Like a weird anime type voice.
And he has the little. The little scooter.
Yes.
That, you know, like, that's the old noise. The, and he's like, taking the escalator up, and he's going, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, it was good.
Yep.
And then I think the episode was really capped off as they're hauling Reggie away in the Ecto-1.
Mm-hmm.
And Mulder and Scully are standing there, and all of a sudden Skinner walks out, and he's looking in the vehicles, what are they doing with Reggie?
And they're just... credits.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But like I said, it was funny, but it also really, like, I loved it because, like Mulder said, you know, this could be the alternate realities bleeding into each other. Like, it's not alternate realities.
Oh, I love how they kept bringing up, this is alternate realities.
Yeah.
And both Reggie and Scully were like, no, there's no such thing.
Oh, it was just great.
And then after Scully presents to them, like, what's wrong with Reggie, he's like, well, maybe an alternate reality.
Yeah. You were just, you wanted to keep working for your country like you always did. Unfortunately, and this is not me being negative, but it's like taking a step back. I feel like this is going to be the exception to the rule, kind of like last season's We're Human.
Yes.
You know, was so out there, but it was so brilliantly done. I wouldn't be surprised. I'd like to look it up at some point, but I wouldn't be surprised if the same guy wrote both episodes.
Darren Morgan wrote this one, and I believe he did write We're Human as well.
So I feel like that's going to be the exception to the rule. It's not like I watched this one and I'm like, yeah, this season is saved. I thought it was great. I've watched it twice. I thought it was
a great episode.
Holy let's see here. God. But – I just
the Were Monster, yes, was written by Darren Morgan.
See?
And directed by Darren Morgan. And yep. It's the only episode he did last year.
So I feel that speaks volumes right there.
And he also wrote and directed this one.
Yep.
So
we'll see what happens next. The next one's called what? Ghoul?
Ghoulie.
Yeah. I love that this one was called The Lost Art of Forehead Sweat.
Yeah, it's kind of...
means absolutely nothing, but I loved it.
But it's kind of weird because it almost feels like they're doing what they did last season where they had six episodes, so they're trying to hit at least one of every type of episode from the past. Mm-hmm. But they have a dozen episodes this season.
Right.
So it's like, they just jumped the shark with this episode.
They blew their load early.
But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm still grateful that we've got a 10th and an 11th season.
Yeah.
And we're getting to see new stories. Because if not for nothing, in the 10th season alone, we got the Were-Monster episode.
Yeah.
So.
And then we got this one in this season. Yeah. So.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. What's next? What's next? What did you hate this week that you watched?
A movie.
Oh, okay. The Good Place.
The Good Place. We're almost done with this season.
Yeah, we are. This one is all the four of them.
It's called The Burrito.
The Burrito, yes.
It starts with The Burrito.
The four of them there, Eleanor, Chidi, Jason, and Tahani there. They meet the judge, who at first they think is a burrito sitting on a desk, and then the judge shows up. It's Maya Rudolph. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, that's just my lunch.
And she's a cool judge.
Yes. And so she gives them a test. And I think rather pass or fail, they wouldn't have been able to go to a good place regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. She basically says, you'll each get a test. And they're like, no, we want to take it together. We all pass together or we all fail together.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, so if one of you fails, none of you goes to the good place.
Yeah.
They each get an individual test.
And the only one that passed is Eleanor.
Yeah. But then she takes one for the team and goes, oh, I failed. I pushed a woman downstairs for sushi.
Right.
You know, so that they don't know that she passed and they all failed.
Yeah, I mean, Chidi failed because it took him 88 minutes to pick a hat.
Yeah. He's like, was I supposed to pick the gray one? She goes, it doesn't matter. It was just a hat.
You just had to pick one.
Just supposed to pick something.
Yeah, and then Jason didn't.
Oh, my God.
Jason's thing was he's got to play the new Madden football game, but he can't be the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's got to be their arch rival, like the Tennessee Titans. And essentially he's like, fine, I'll beat them. And she's like, you essentially told me, the almighty being, to shut up and go away.
Yeah.
Because your option was just to not play.
Right. You could have said, I just don't want
to
play.
Right. And then Tahani wasn't supposed to open any doors and listen to anything. And she went to, but she had to go confront her parents anyway.
Yeah. She was walking down a hallway and she could see that behind every door was some group of people that had met her that were talking about her.
Yeah.
And so she was supposed to resist the temptation. And there was some weird ones like Stephen Hawking. And,
yeah.
You know, she's like, oh, but then she wanted to confront her parents and basically tell them off. And so she failed.
So just as they're all about to be thrown back into hell.
Yep.
Michael shows up.
With Janet. Because Janet learned how to be bad.
Yes.
To disguise herself as bad Janet.
And she actually marbleized bad Janet to make it look like it was a good Janet.
Yep.
And it was good.
I love the one line in there. He goes, that's not fair. And his boss is like, oh, fair is the dumbest word that the human collective has ever come up with. Outside of staycation. That was great.
So it'll be interesting to see now that Michael and good Janet.
What was it? Michael, but they weren't going to retire him because that would be a spectacle and everybody would get to see the flaming hot magma poured down his throat and he'd get attention. They didn't want him to have attention, so they just were going to
put him in. No, I think Sean didn't want to bring attention to what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's like, instead, we're just going to put you in this nondescript empty room for the rest of eternity with a stack of New Yorker magazines.
That you'll never read. But I'm never going to read those.
And they'll just keep stacking up.
Another one drops down.
They just come up with some of the weirdest stuff, but it's just true. So, yeah, they show up and
kind of
left on that.
Yeah. So we'll have to see what happens this week.
Yeah. And I think this is the last one because this will be episode 24.
We just had 24. I think this is 25. Okay. I think this is chapter 25. Okay. Yeah, I think this – but I believe this week is the final episode. Is Superstore getting a full season?
Yes. Well, full-ish.
Like for us full season?
No.
Like it's not 20 episodes.
Yeah, I think they're only getting like 13, maybe.
Okay, so let's see here. Yeah, chapter 26, Somewhere Else. I think that's the final episode of this season.
So we've got two more?
No, one more.
Oh, yeah. So we just did chapter 25?
Just had 25.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I believe we have one more episode this season, and I think this is going to finish it off.
Which puts it 13 and 13, so.
Yeah.
And someplace else. So there's the good place, the bad place, the neutral place, and now someplace else.
Someplace else, yeah.
Maybe they're going to be stuck back on Earth. That'd be interesting.
I don't know. Let's see here. Oh, no. Yeah, we're getting 22 episodes of season 3 of Superstore.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're up.
Way to go.
We're up to episode 11, Angels and Mermaids.
Oh, Jesus.
I found this to be kind of a weaker, I don't know. I didn't care for the story of Cheyenne and her ex-convict mother.
Yeah, that was, it was straining after a while. You know, the backstabbing and the, you know, oh, well, by the end, they both teamed up against Amy. Because they each kept pulling Amy over to their side, and then the other one would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Cheyenne's mom gets out of prison, and Cheyenne's mom is like, we're going to have a Green Day concert for your child.
No, the concert, a Green Day themed party. Yeah.
And Cheyenne's like, no, I want to do mermaids.
Well, and no, she doesn't say that at first. She's like, okay, my mom's always right, so, you know.
Right.
But then Amy's like, wouldn't mermaids be more appropriate for a two-year-old girl?
Essentially, Amy's been like Cheyenne's mom. And now that Cheyenne's mom is out of prison, there's the mom's butting head type thing.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, Cheyenne's a moron.
Yes, she really is. And she needs somebody.
Tremendous moron.
Because look who she's with. She's with Bo, who's an even bigger moron. Yeah. Like, she's the brains of the operation.
Yeah.
Between her and Bo.
So first, essentially, like, Amy goes to talk to Cheyenne's mom with Cheyenne. And Cheyenne makes poor decisions. And then Amy goes to talk to Cheyenne's mom about it. And then now Amy and Cheyenne's mom go to talk to Cheyenne, and Cheyenne's mom, basically, they have a big blow up about how Cheyenne makes poor decisions. And so she's taking both sides. And then Cheyenne and her mom team up and go against Amy and be like, you're a busybody. You should stay out of people's business.
Right.
And the things you said about Bo and on. So, I mean, that was
he's a clown.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb.
It was.
That whole business was dumb.
Yep.
And then the B story even of Glenn and
Dina
and
the contract for the
contract for the baby and the, you know, her being a surrogate and then lawyers getting involved and on and on and on.
Starting with her taking hormones and making him take saline so that he could know the.
If I'm getting a shot every day, you're getting a shot every day. Yeah.
The only funny part of that whole thing, like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I kind of liked when he assumed that the lawyer was Jewish.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
And then he's like, I'll go get some bagels and a schmear. And he goes, I'm telling you, you know what? That might be nice. but the only part that I really liked about all that was when they were playing chicken with each other.
Yes.
And Dina's like, I'm going to go have sex with the warehouse guy. And he's like, really? Awesome. Like, they had it before, obviously, because they're talking about it. She's like, this time, do not keep looking at me and saying, "What am I doing this right? Am I doing this right?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah. Forgive me for trying to be compassionate.
And then Glenn pretends that Sandra's going to be the surrogate.
Yeah.
And no one. And then finally, Garrett's like, just stop it. Like, no one was believing either one of you guys. No one wants Sandra. You're right. I don't. Sandra just goes, no one does.
Yeah. You don't want Sandra. She moved from Hawaii to
Missouri or wherever they are.
To St. Louis.
Who does that?
I know. Poor life decisions. And then we also had the C story, which was weird.
Of Jonah mocking Kelly for believing in angels.
Not just mocking her, but like, oh, he's like borderline going to end the relationship because she believes in angels.
Right. And
that's a weird place to have a line.
She tells her story of why she believes in angels. And he's like, perhaps maybe you're just hallucinating because you had almost drowned.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it was somebody in a robe.
Yeah.
Everyone else like, oh, because they're all having the debate about mythical creatures.
Right.
Like putting them up on a board of whether they're real or unreal. Because they've been listing things like leprechauns. And no, those are real. Those are totally real.
Yeah. Sasquatch, ghosts, whatever. And so, yeah. And then that would have jeopardized Garrett's plans for his friends to come over and eat a 22-foot-long sandwich. 22-foot-long.
And I want to keep it fresh, so it's going to go partly in your room.
So there was a lot going on this episode.
There was.
But it wasn't – it was one – I mean, I still laughed at times, but it was a weaker episode.
It was a weaker, especially after last week's.
Yeah, yeah. God, yeah.
But, yeah, for Jonah to draw the line there, you know, when he's found this girl who's, like, attractive and fun and funny and they have a lot in common, for him to be like, oh, she believes in angels. I don't think I can do this. Kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But anyway, regardless.
Let's see here. Superstore, check. Shield?
Shield.
A lot going on this episode, I guess.
Although this was definitely an episode filled with those, well, guess they were lucky to be able to do that. I mean, they've got seven members of the team on this one ship.
Yeah.
Sure is surprising that they succeeded.
Yeah, like they all didn't die.
Yeah.
I don't like how they keep making Deke waver back and forth between what he's going to do and this and that. That's been done the entire season since we've met him.
Yep.
He essentially doesn't stand on his own two feet and stick to his guns about how he feels. He's swayed very easily by whoever is giving him the speech last.
Yep, pretty much.
And he is the definition of the a sheep.
Yeah.
That follows whoever speaks the loudest last.
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't know. I guess the big things this episode was Sonara's dead.
But is she? Because we also learned that Tess was brought back to life multiple times because they can do that.
Well, yeah, but unless Cassius can get a hold of Sonara's body to bring her back to life, right. Then I would assume she's dead.
Yeah.
But
it was kind of convenient that they introduced the technology to bring people back to life in the same episode that they killed her off. I mean, I'm just saying.
Fair enough. Basically, Cassius, he's going to blow up and kill all the humans. And so they get him talking long enough so that the humans can take all the bombs and separate themselves from each other,
mm-hmm.
from him. I haven't paid attention enough or they haven't shown us enough of the layers of the lighthouse where I can understand how they can blow up a section of it, but still life support is working. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. But
again, it was an episode of a lot of, good thing that worked.
Yeah, I don't know. It was okay. And Cassius has his own seer.
Yeah. And I, a couple days after that, I saw an article that said, you know, Mac and Yo-Yo, the actors that play them, said that the identity of his seer is so shocking they couldn't believe it. Okay.
So essentially, I don't know. The humans are safe. The good guys are on the move. The bad guy's kind of backpedaling, but he still has some ammo in his weapon. And, you know, that's where we're at.
Yeah, it was.
I know that's not a great breakdown, but that's the best you're
gonna That was basically the episode. I mean, there was, like you said, there was a lot happening, but not a lot went on.
Yeah. It was mostly, we're going to do a lot of positioning to set up for the next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, you just got a really good episode. Now let us do some, you know, behind the scenes.
We got to do some storyline building here so we can get to the next episode.
Yep.
That's kind of how I guess I took for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's got, 22 episodes this season, and we're only on episode 9. So it's, unless they're going to do the thing where they do, like, the second half of the season takes place here, it feels like they're wrapping up their time where they are now.
Yep, and they're going to go back to the past.
They're going to go back to the past and figure out things and change things or whatever. Yep. So, yeah.
I'm wondering if Flint is going to turn out to be like Daisy's grandchild.
Oh?
She quakes things apart. He pulls them together.
Okay, maybe, I guess.
I don't know. I wouldn't care either way.
They established this episode that May does mom face a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, with basically the entire team on the Zephyr, you knew nothing bad was going to happen. So that took me out of it completely.
I just always think back to the Family Guy Star Wars spoof when they're like, oh God, we're going to crash. And he's like, we got like five or six of the major characters on this ship. I think we're going to be fine. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The only time that it was ever a thing was in the first season. When, spoiler alert, in the first season when they were all on the Zephyr and Ward, like, dumped Fitz and Simmons out of it.
Right.
You know, dumped them in the middle of the ocean. It's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, but now we're at the point where it's like, no, everybody's safe. We're fine.
You notice Fitz seems to be okay now?
Mm.
Like, I'm sure someone will go, well, along the way, they did XYZ to make him better.
It took him a while.
But it took him a while, but he just, like, they don't, it seems like they don't talk about it anymore. They don't address it. It's, they've moved past that. See, what else? Oh, I watched the next episode of Taken.
Okay.
And
were you taken with it?
You know what? It's good. It really is good. Basically, I think I told you this verbally at one point, but last season, you know, the whole premise of the show is that Mills was like basically the junior man on a team. He's got to prove himself. This season, he is the team. And he has support personnel of the boss lady that makes things happen, the computer tech guy that, you know, has the world at his fingertips. And then essentially his one backup girl, and her job is support personnel. She's the long range sniper. She's the one that comes in to get him to extract him. You know, he has to meet her at the extraction point so she can drive the car away really fast. And I'm good with it though. I'm good with it. Except they did another little thing this week. Basically what it is, there's this head of a company who steals everyone's pensions. And now he's hiding out on this island. And there was
extradition, I'm assuming.
Yes. And there was this guy who had kidnapped one of the accountants from the company. He was trying to find out what happened to the pensions because he wanted to get them back. Brian, the team gets hired to find the accountant. And then when they get too close, we're going to handle this in-house. And they fire everybody. Of course, Brian's seen too much now, and he knows that this is actually a good guy who was pushed to his limit. And then the evil head of the company has the good guy, Norm, killed.
Mm.
So now Brian's down on this island to bring him back, and that's what he's supposed to do. So he shows up at the gate, and over the intercom system, he says, "You need to come out now, or I'm going to come in there and kill you. And I know you think you're safe, but you're not." And the guy says to him, "Good luck." Except it's over an intercom box, not a cell phone. By the way, Brian's got exceptionally good luck.
And a certain set of skills? A certain
set of skills. But yeah, essentially Brian goes in and kills everyone. His backup lady's at a far, and he's like, "Can I get a little help?" And she starts sniping people. Because she's got a clear range of shot of inside and outside the house, apparently.
Oh,
one vantage point she doesn't move from. Whatever, that's fine. And then essentially Brian sits the guy down, and he's like, "Look, every account you have, even the secret ones, we found them all. We've taken all your money. See, you can check." So he picks up his phone, pushes one button, and all his account listings are nicely, you know, organized on his phone in one app.
Yeah.
And they all show a zero balance. And then when Brian goes, "Even the secret ones," the guy scrolls up with like a special box for this other, and it shows zero.
Secret account.
Yeah. And he goes, "Oh, and here are those soldiers coming."
It takes me like 5 steps to log into my credit union account.
Yeah, I know. Phone. And those mercenaries that are coming right now, they're not coming to save you. They're coming because, well, we took their money too. And now they want, they're going to come. You got to pay mercenaries for them to protect you, and you can't do that. So I'll see you later. Oh, and here's a gun. Your choice is you can either kill yourself or let them take you. And he leaves. And then you hear a gunshot and credits. Good episode, actually. I liked it.
And now we've established that Brian is a liar. Because he said, "I'm going to come in there and kill you." But he did not kill him.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. He may not have said kill you. I was surmising.
Okay, okay.
I did watch it at 4:30 this morning.
Gotcha.
I was surmising.
Yeah.
But the whole point of it was the guy said to him, "Good luck." But I enjoy the show.
Good.
I like this season better than last season.
Wow.
Because I like the fact that Brian's is his one-man band.
Mm-hmm.
So. I wouldn't compare it to the movie, but...
The first movie.
Right, the first movie. Yes. But, did you watch anything else? That's it for me show-wise. I don't even think I watched a movie this week.
I watched the next episode of Corporate. I'm still enjoying this show.
I forgot all about that show.
It's dark and dingy. This episode dealt with the two characters there. One of them had to have spinal surgery because the chairs don't offer any lumbar support. and going through his whole thing. And the other one is going crazy because nobody will let him get his nap in. And so he's very tired and he keeps finding different places to try to sleep. And then the sleep deprivation takes over and he's seeing a ghost of a woman that used to work there. But it's not really. It's weird, but I still enjoy it. Beyond that, though, the Detour came back.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we got the first episode of the third season, and it starts off with them still on the run because, you know, the feds are after her dad, and so by extension after them. And so they're on the run, and we get an opening scene of them getting, you know, the police are banging on the door, and so they all go into emergency mode. You know, they're in different places, but they get the text message that says run, so they all meet up at the place and, you know, the agreed upon location. And it's just, it's funny watching it happen. And they escape to Alaska, change their identities to this family that went missing, you know, just like them, father, mother, son, daughter, all went missing, presumed dead. You know, she's like, yes, dead kids. And they're all like, oh, sorry, wrong emphasis there, but you know what I mean. And so they change their identity, but of course, Jareb's an idiot, and he shouts out his name at one point, and so the townspeople all discover that they're not who they really say they are. You know, Nate is not really a world-class roller coaster design guy. When the zipper goes crazy at the carnival and he can't fix it, but they basically tell them, they're like, are you kidding? Look around at this town. We're all hiding from someone. Every one of us is living under assumed name. Just fucking fix the thing. So it's good. I like that show. It's really subversive humor. It's really twisted, but I love it. I've had so much fun with it. Other than that, I just had two movies.
What's the movie you hated?
Ingrid Goes West.
Did you finish it?
I finished it because I wanted to be able to say that I finished it. I had half an hour left. So I'm going to spoil the shit out of this because I don't think anybody should watch this movie.
Okay. I think Audrey Plaza would disagree with you.
She would. So would Elizabeth Olsen. Yeah. They really want you to watch this. And good for them for doing something like this, but I did not like this movie at all. It starts off with her scrolling through Instagram of this girl's feed for her wedding, you know, and like you can hear the girl narrating, like, you know, such a perfect day for such a perfect wedding, princess emoji, and stuff like this. So she's scrolling through and liking every one of them, sitting in this dark room, like looking all trashed out. So she shows up at the girl's wedding and pepper sprays her because she wasn't invited to the wedding. And the girl had put up a picture that said, you know, here with all my favorite people. And she wasn't on the list. So she ends up in an asylum for a little while and does some group therapy and, you know, writes a letter to this girl saying, you know, I hope we can be friends. And, you know, I've learned an awful lot about boundaries and stuff. And so when she gets out, she finds a new girl to obsess over, a new Instagram star to obsess over. And it's Elizabeth Olsen's character. So she moves out to California to obsess over this girl and like integrates herself into her life, you know, steals her dog and then goes, oh, I found your dog. Let me bring it to you. And then, you know, becomes enmeshed with her. And it's basic. It's very shallow. The whole thing. She's trying to be like this girl. So she's like taking pictures of everything in her bathroom and she's obsessing over all of her Instagram posts. And it's really ridiculous. I stopped with a half an hour left because it wasn't going anywhere. It was annoying the hell out of me. And then I finally finished watching it and I'm like, this was a terrible payoff because she sits there and she obsesses and she integrates herself in this girl's life. And then the girl's brother discovers her phone and discovers what she's been doing and blackmails her and says, you know, you're going to pay me $5,000 a month for the rest of whenever, or else I'm going to tell her what you did and that you're a stalker, basically, and blah, blah, blah. Well, he does that anyway because she gets her friend to try to kidnap him and put the fear of God in him, and he almost dies, and so he goes and tells his sister. So then she's like, you know, you're psycho, go away, leave me alone, and her fiancé is like, yeah, leave her alone. So she continues calling them and continues leaving voicemails and writing them messages and saying, please, I just want to explain and be my friend, and I miss you, and so she finally like crashes a party that they're at, and Elizabeth Olsen's like, get the hell out of here. I don't want you around. You are psychotic. You are a crazy stalker psychopath. And she's like, just give me 5 minutes to explain it. And you're like, okay, here's going to be the touching moment where she – no. She basically says, well, I may be a loser, but you're a loser too. And your fiance told me that when you came out here, you were nobody. And then you got Instagram famous, and that's the only reason you're famous. She goes, yeah, but you're a loser, and I hate you. So then Audrey Plaza – and again, this is a big spoiler. So if you somehow want to watch this movie
– not so far.
Turn it off now. But so Aubrey Plaza goes back to her place where she has no electricity and no water or anything because she's run out of money. And she does one final Instagram video where she tells everybody, you know, I've been pretending to be somebody and I've been pretending that I had this great life with her out here. And I was pretending all this stuff and this is the real me and I'm a terrible person. And she pops a bunch of pills and drinks some vodka and kills herself. Well, except that, you know, her guy that she isn't dating but, you know, has hung out with saw the video and called 911. And so they managed to get her to a hospital and they saved her life. And all these people sent her all these balloons and flowers and said, you know, oh, we saw your video and, you know, please don't do that. You're too good for this and blah, 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 blah. So she gets rewarded with all these followers and all these people who are giving her good wishes and telling her how amazing she is for being a psychopath and trying to kill herself. Then the movie ends.
So her poor behavior is rewarded with the fame she wanted.
Yes, yes.
You know, that seems like an accurate depiction of society that we live in.
And that's why I hated it.
Except, had the movie continued on, then they would have tore her down.
Yes,
because we saw the build, and then about a week later, people would start chipping away at that, and then they tear her right down because, you know, that's what we do as society. We
don't. Yeah.
Hit people up too long.
It drove me nuts. And I think part of what drove me the most nuts was the fact that it was so accurate.
Yeah.
Like, kudos to them for making something that is accurate like that. You know, yeah. Saying that these people obsess over things like Instagram and likes and hashtags and shit. But holy crap.
Yeah.
This really happens and this is bullshit. Yeah. This movie really upset me. But not like upset, like, ooh, but like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like garbage.
Yeah. So don't watch it. I thought it was going to be a comedy. It was not. It was
twisted. Not only was it not funny, it just wasn't good, huh?
Yeah. It just really was not good.
Fair enough.
But the other one that I watched, A Futile and Stupid Gesture. This movie, I really recommend.
Yes.
I love this movie. So this was, and I'm not going to give a lot of it away, but I will say that the basic premise, I had to find this on Netflix because I follow Thomas Patrick Lennon on social media. And he was like, look, our movie's out today on, you know, January 26th. And it wasn't in my, you know, suggested for you. It wasn't in new releases, anything.
You had to seek it down.
I had to seek it down. And the cover art for it is Will Forte standing there looking all stunned. And there's a gun to his head. And it says, if you don't watch this movie, we're going to kill Will Forte.
Nice.
Which is a take on the National Lampoon's cover. If you don't read this, if you don't buy this magazine, we're going to kill this dog.
Yes.
But yeah, it's Douglas Kenny and Henry Beard, the two guys who started the National Lampoon. The magazine, and then eventually the movies, you know, Animal House, Caddyshack. This is their story. And mostly it's Doug's story.
Nice.
Martin Mull plays older Doug, who narrates for a lot of it. But he also, like, he addresses the camera. And they do funny things. Like, at one point, they say, so we got some new people to come in and write some gags for us. And they have Gilda Radner. And they have John Belushi, and they have Chevy Chase, who Joel McHale does a wonderful job playing Chevy Chase.
Nice. Okay, I like that a lot.
Yeah. And all these different Saturday Night Live alums, and you're like, these people were all Saturday Night Live. Well, this was before Saturday Night Live was a thing. And then they all were taken from the National Lampoon for Saturday Night Live.
Right.
It is a really good movie because it's part documentary and part just comedic look at. And I really enjoyed it. Like, I found myself glued right to it. I put it on before work one day, and I was like, oh, you know, it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours long. I was like, I've got an hour. I'll see if it's any good. And I was like, the whole time I was at work, I was like, I can't wait to get home and finish watching this movie.
Nice.
I really enjoyed it, and I really I recommend it to people because this was the beginning of the dark subversive comedies. This was, you know, they did the Animal House and they did Caddyshack. And, you know, at one point they go to a movie theater, him and his girlfriend at the time, and they see Airplane. And he's just blown away. He's like, no, this was my idea. This was what I did. These guys were comic geniuses. The riffing that they did, the one-liners that they did, it was hilarious to watch. So I strongly recommend it. A Futile and Stupid Gesture. If you can watch it, check it out on Netflix. It's there. It's really good. It's really funny. It's got so many, like, stars, but they're B stars.
Yeah.
That you just,
it's like, oh, I recognize them. I recognize
yeah.
them type of thing.
Yeah. And a lot of them are cameos. Like, Seth Green's in there. But he's just barely in there. He's, like, one of the guys. They could have gotten any schmo off the street to do this, but it was Seth Green. Because all of them loved Doug and Henry. And they loved what the National Lampoon built. And seriously, like, check this out, everybody. If you like comedy, if you like documentary, if you like, because it's not a traditional documentary, like I said,
it's yeah, well, it doesn't sound like it, but no. It sounds awesome.
It's really awesome, and I really recommend it to anybody. I would watch this again easily. But yeah, that was it for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
I got a couple trailers I want to talk about.
Oh, okay, good.
And the first one is we got a teaser trailer for Black Dynamite 2. Sorry, Michael Dynamite. The trailer doesn't reveal a whole lot other than Black is back, 2018.
It's all it makes. It's all it needs, literally.
I read something somewhere that the plot is going to revolve around, I think, like, Black Dynamite is the president or has a connection to the president. And there's some sort of drug that goes around that makes men's dicks smaller. And so Black Dynamite has to stop it.
So, yeah.
I don't. It doesn't matter if that's the actual plot or not. All that matters is that Black Dynamite 2 is coming back.
Right.
Yeah. And it looked hilarious and awesome. And yeah, exactly. I'm sold. Yeah.
God, I remember we watched the first one, like, on a, is this going to be good? Is it not going to be good?
And then laughed hysterically.
Great.
I mean, like, that movie, I own the movie.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's phenomenal. I love the scene where you actually see the boom mic sticking down from in the top of the screen, and they just don't address it, and they don't talk about it. They just, you know. Yeah, it's great. I mean, it was an homage to the black exploitation flicks, and it just it spawned a few seasons of a cartoon show, even.
Yep.
So, which I didn't care for the cartoon as much as the movie,
right?
But I can't wait for this next movie. It's gonna be awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Michael Jai White. Woo.
Yeah. And then you saw it as well last night, but I'd seen it previously. The trailer for the new Andre the Giant documentary that HBO's doing.
Yep.
Comes out April 10th. It just looks phenomenal.
It does.
Rather you're a wrestling fan or you're not a wrestling fan, this is definitely something worth checking out. It's an HBO sports documentary. It just happens to be about a professional wrestler, Andre the Giant, but it looks phenomenal.
Everybody knows Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
Even if it was Fezzik.
Fezzik from The Princess Bride. So, you know. He played Bigfoot on Six Million Dollar Man. So. Yeah, that's kind of it for me.
Yeah.
Any trailers?
I feel like I do, but I honestly can't remember them, and I didn't write them down, so they must not have been that good.
Couldn't have been that good then.
Nope.
Cool. All right, I guess that surmises everything.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So, all right, well, hey.
Thanks. So surmised.
So surmised. I guess thanks for listening then. on the Twitter machine, because it's not
a machine.
It is.
It's not a machine. Your computer's a machine.
Is that how I access my Twitter?
Yes.
So on the Twitter machine.
It's not a Twitter machine. Because you do other stuff, too. You write letters. You write blogs. You surf the internet. You look at porn.
So it's the porn machine. It's the internet machine.
Anyway.
It's the letter writing machine. It's the blogging machine. It's the Twitter machine. I'm that superstar, Mal.
I'm speechless. I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch, and Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week, so thanks.
That's not the Facebook machine. We'll talk to you next
Technically week. Technically, it is.
It's not the Facebook machine. We'll talk to you next week, people.